The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual host, co-host, and guest only, and do not necessarily reflect that of the Precision Rifle Network, its sponsors, or affiliates. Information provided on this podcast is presented solely for entertainment and educational purposes only. We are not attorneys or legal experts, therefore none of the information provided is to be considered legal advice. Listener discretion is advised. Fucking turn that shit off.
Whose is that?
I turned mine off.
Through that headphones, I couldn't tell which direction that was coming from.
No,
not yet.
But hang on, let me put you on speaker and you can say fuck Jason.
Which one? There's two of us.
Well, we're at the podcast. And he says, oh, you should turn your phone off. I said, it's my mom.
And then I said, oh.
And then he said, oh, mom says, fuck you.
Dude. That's different.
She says, no cookies for you, bitch.
Oh, that's not good. That's not. Can I have his cookies in? Well, we don't need to take those measures.
I'm going to try something stupid.
Come back. 15 minutes time starts now. Impact.
Look at how smooth it is. Ooh, yeah.
Impact.
Why didn't I just stay here?
Yeah, I fucked up.
Impact. The 308 is not dead. It's alive.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Precision Rifle Network podcast. I am your host, Jason, and joining me in studio tonight, I have Jason Kinsler, Amy Wolf, and as always, the DJ. How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great.
Good.
Am I good? Good. We've got a lot to cover tonight, so we're just going to jump right into it. What freedom did you enjoy in the last week or so?
Got in a couple of suppressors. Got one in yesterday, got one in last week. Been waiting for a while on those.
Which ones did you get in?
Got the Thunder Beast Takedown 22. Also got in the AB Raptor 8 with the extra cup reflex on the backside.
Mm-hmm. What caliber is that?
That's a 30 cal. Had a little issue with it. We accidentally got one in for a standard size barrel. Called Alan. He took care of me immediately. Went down there today, swapped it out for the reflex for the bull barrel. Come to find out my barrel's a little too girthy even for it. So we're going to work on that and see what we can't get figured out. He'll get me taken care of. He always does.
Yeah.
Other than that, I really haven't done anything this
week. So you bought two 30 cal cans?
No. I got the Thunder Beast 22 takedown.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm missing. Okay, I get you.
And then I got the AB Raptor 8 in a 30 cal.
Okay. How many cans total you got now?
That's the only two I have.
You got any more on order or anything?
Not right now. We were talking about some 9mm and maybe another one, dedicated 5.56 can.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't have anything on order right now.
Cool.
Well, let us know what you think about the Thunder Beast.
I will as soon as I am able to get out. I'm hoping to go do some shooting tomorrow, so I'll be able to give pretty solid review on it in a couple weeks when we do the next podcast.
What was your wait time?
Wait time was right at 5 months.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all. I wasn't expecting either one of them until April, and I got the surprise email last Friday for the Takedown 22, and then I ordered them a week apart, and I got the approvals exactly a week apart, too, so I got the approval for the Raptor yesterday.
Is that one seeing any of the really fast turnaround
yes.
times?
Yeah. On the singles, we were actually talking about it today. Me and Liam went down and hung out for a couple hours. They were actually seeing some of them in less than 12 days.
Whoa.
I heard a story the other day. I don't know if it's true or not, that somebody had bought a suppressor, and before, as he was walking out the store, he's like, okay, thanks. Got we'll see you later. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Come on back. We just got your approval.
Wow.
Happened in the store. So I don't know.
But then again, we were in there today, and a guy ordered one for a 338, and he was at 11 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did both mine on the one-shot trust.
Yep.
We actually saw an article, I think it was last week, that I guess the ATF's doing something with the singles,
mm-hmm.
where they're actually like batch approving them, even if they're ordered at different times.
Oh, really?
They were supposedly batch approving multiple suppressors at the same time for a single customer.
Wow.
I don't know if that's 100% accurate. Mm-hmm. I mean, the article we read could have been off, but that was what we read online.
I wonder if,
if you do, you get your background check, right? So if they do that initial background check, just like I would as an FFL, you immediately get that, proceed, write down the number, and away we go.
Yeah.
Some people get a delay, and I'm one of those persons that even as an FFL, if I go buy a gun, get my background check done, I get a delay every single time.
Really?
Yeah. Now, the delay, usually 30 minutes, and then they go back and they research it, and you eventually get it.
That's odd. I've never had that happen before.
Oh, yeah. So I wonder if those people that are still seeing those 10, 11, 12-month wait times, I wonder if they do that initial background check, and maybe they get a delay. So then that gets shuffled. I don't know.
Now, I did hear Alan and Jesse saying today that this was that guy's first suppressor ever.
Yeah.
And he said usually when, on your first one, there's usually a little bit more of a weight on those. I don't know really anything about it. He takes care of all that stuff for me. So, but that guy was, yeah, he was at 10 or 11 months or something. And he was coming in because he had lost his email from the ATF.
Yeah.
And he was wondering if there was an issue. And Jesse was able to get on there and see right away that everything was all green lights.
Good.
He's just still waiting.
Well, with the Thunder Beast, it might be just where they're, the 338, they make them for per order is what I heard.
Sure. Now, Alan had the suppressor in the building, in the safe. They were just waiting for the ATF approval, I think. I guess he was freaking out because he was worried that, okay, did I do something wrong? You know, but it wasn't the case. He was all clear. He just not ready yet.
Anything else?
Nope. That was pretty much, yeah, I haven't got to do a whole lot of shooting. Shot a most match, I don't know, 3 weeks ago or something. Center fire and rim fire, but other than that, no, I haven't shot.
That's right. How'd you do?
The center fire match was a dumpster fire, to say the least. I had squatted with Reese, first two stages, 21 shots. I dropped 20, she dropped 19.
Ooh,
yeah. So when Reese dropped 19, I didn't feel too bad about dropping 20.
How in the hell did that happen?
I don't have a whole lot of time behind my dasher right at this moment. And she was shooting one of Matt Woody's guns. And I think somehow, I think Matt said he had like six or seven different profiles for GTs in his Kestrel. And I think they were all getting, because we were all missing quite a bit, except Devin. Devin was on it.
She was on fire. She won.
She did.
Her division, or yeah. I saw she was holding the
trophy.
Yeah,
she shot really well.
Yeah.
But the rest of us struggled. But it was a good time.
How did you do on the rimfire next
day? Rimfire match, there was a lot of guys, a lot of top shooters there. I ended up 17th. I was really happy with my progress through that day.
Yeah.
I even kind of conquered the bus a little bit and had a really good day on the bus, but it just wasn't. I'm pretty sure I was 85% or something on shooting, but it just wasn't enough. That's for the guys that were there.
Pretty goddamn good.
I was happy. I was really happy, but there was just some guys there that were just hammers, you know?
It's getting tight up top.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amy?
What did we do? Muddy Creek Ranch, Muddy Creek team match.
Right.
Was that last weekend? That was last weekend, yeah.
It was.
That seems longer ago.
Amy's feeling a little under the weather today, so she looks a little dazed sitting across the table from me right now.
I'm here.
DJ will reach over and pinch you if you start going to sleep. Anything else? You went to a gun show, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll help you through this. We'll get through this journey together.
Oh, I came home empty-handed.
You're going to need the Biden.
The teleprompter. Hey, read this.
You do have to remember when you leave my shop, you do have to go up one step. So don't pull a Biden on me, all right? How was the gun show?
Good. Better than expected, actually. Yeah. Sometimes you go and they're just a bust.
Is it that same group that's always done them? I don't know.
I don't know who it was sponsored by.
The ones that they do, and they've done it in St. Charles. They do the one up here in Troy.
No, it's not that same
group. It's not the same one.
Got other guys. This was the big one that they have down at the old Lamborghini Sports Complex. It's huge.
I got you.
It's usually pretty good.
Yeah, they call it the Steel Complex or something.
Yeah, Steel Complex.
Yeah.
I was impressed for where it was and time of year. And
that's the one that's down in Old Town St. Charles, mm-hmm. right? Down past the mm-hmm. Mayor Star.
What'd they charge you to get in?
$14.
Oh, that's awesome.
Was the floor full?
No.
Almost.
Wow. Almost, but they brought the wall up closer, too.
A lot of old shit.
It's, yeah. The one that they have down there is usually a pretty good show. And you get a little mixture of everything.
You know the one they
it's
do?
It's a good place to go find parts.
They had lots of parts.
Yes. If you're looking for that oddball, one-off, can't find it anywhere else, good chance somebody down there's got it.
Yeah, there was lots of shotgun barrels. There must have been 200 shotgun barrels.
Really?
They're having a raffle for a Black Rain Ordnance.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Did you enter?
No, I didn't. I did enter for a Ruger pistol, though.
All right. How about you, Deej?
Well, you know I did Muddy Creek.
Muddy Creek.
100 team match. I'm trying to think what else. Did not swap a scope this week.
Wow.
Wow.
That's like 2 weeks in
a row. I'm starting to get concerned.
3 weeks because we didn't have a podcast last week.
Because we were at the match.
Right.
3 weeks without swapping a scope.
I'm feeling it. There was lots of old stuff at the gun show today. Interesting stuff. 341s, Winchester 341s. Mm-hmm. Holy crap, there must have been half a dozen.
Did you buy anything?
No.
So
wow.
close.
Wow. That's
it was really,
really
hard. A lot of lever actions.
Mm.
Ooh.
Lever
two
actions.
Two Marlin 730 Walters.
Yeah.
Two. Well,
I guess I know what we're doing tomorrow. And Jason's going to get him another lever gun.
Several 35 Remingtons. Lever
oh, that's
guns.
Cool.
No 38-55s.
Anybody down there have reloading components for any of that stuff?
There was a lot of brass. The powder that I saw was, you wouldn't be buying it.
Had a little orange tint to it?
They were just really proud.
Oh. I thought you meant like it was old powder, stank powder.
There was some of that, too. Was I saw it? A cardboard box of Hercules. Cutting edge.
1987.
It would be older than that.
Really?
Oh, yes. I think early 60s is when they quit making that.
Damn.
It's been a minute.
Is that smokeless or is that black powder? I don't know anything about that powder at all.
It's smokeless. Because
you weren't born yet.
Yeah. Dad was born in 60.
I wasn't born yet either, but
I figured
I can read and I listen. And
do you, though?
Somewhat.
I know you know how to read, but do you listen?
Somewhat. So then I can tell you that you're wrong. You know, you got to listen.
You're very proficient at that.
Yes.
But usually when you do say it, you're usually right, so I get it.
Had a big discussion with a guy about how far a 22 will go.
A lot of bullpups there today, too.
How far it will go or how far it will go accurately?
Both. Yeah.
Did he ask you if you could shoot your 22 past 100 yards?
Well, what was the argument?
Well, he says you can't shoot a 22 past 100 yards with any proficiency. I said, what are we calling proficiency? You know, to hit a target. I said, well, how big a target? Well, I don't know, like a bucket.
There's still a lot of FUDs out there.
A lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get to be amazed several times. But I guess if the only thing you've ever seen is a bucket of bullets and 10-22, that's about it.
Well, for me, aside from we'll talk about last weekend here in just a minute, about the only thing that I did this week was I took a KRG Bravo, it's Bravo, right?
Yeah.
Turned that from a right-handed chassis into a left-handed chassis for someone we know well, Mr. Henry.
Great little guy.
So he brought that over Thursday night and dropped it off. And I told him, I said, you know, it's probably going to be a week or two before I get to it. I got up really early Friday morning, came out here, set it up in the mill, milled it out, had it all done. His dad came and picked it up last night. We sighted it in for him, and he took it home. He had no idea he was getting it. So he got to shoot the Interrail 22 match today.
Very nice.
So I'll be really interested to see how he did. So he was super, super pumped. He is such a good kid. And then aside from that, we went to Muddy Creek Rimfire Team Hunter Match in Coffee, Missouri last weekend. A few little stories to tell there.
I know what the first one's going to be.
Well, yeah.
Is it a FUD story, though?
No, not a FUD story. It's a duh story.
It would be the dumbass story.
Yeah, I only started stages with my bullet in my pocket.
So, yeah.
Well, I got one beat.
He's got
I know where we're going.
So we get up to the very first stage, and they say, you ready? Yep, let's go. Time starts now. Run up. I shoot. Get done. DJ lays down to shoot. He goes to close the bolt on his rifle, and it's not there. The bolt is gone. So we're thinking that he lost it in the field on the way, you know, between the staging area and there. And so we were looking all over the place for it.
Well, first you tried to give him yours.
Yeah, we tried to take the bolt out of my gun, which was the 90, and yours is the 360, so that didn't fit.
Nope, but we tried.
Then I had, you took my gun, didn't you?
I took your gun.
Yeah, took my gun, and you still shot. Did you get all your shots off?
Yeah, but they were very rare. I didn't hit shit, but I got my shots off.
You ran out of ammo.
Yeah.
You ran out of ammo, so I had to hand you another magazine.
Well, I was walking the fields looking for the bolt, which was back at the truck inside the case.
He left it in the fucking truck.
So I at least had mine on me.
And that was the first stage of the day.
After that, things picked up, but I wanted to get that out of the way. So we wouldn't have that tension. I did it for Jason. I'm a team player. Oh. I did it for Jason, so he wouldn't be tensed up.
He just had the first stage jitters is all it was.
Oh, you should have seen me slapping for that bolt. I slapped three times, and it just would not appear.
Oh, I got tears running down my face.
Oh, it was funny. Match went pretty well overall. I think for us, that was the first time you and I have even shot a hunter match. We've already rode a few. That was the first time we shot. We had a pretty good game plan going into it, and I think we did okay.
I think we did all right.
There's some things you and I both need to improve on as far as communication and order and all that, but I think the equipment that we had, never doing it, and the strategy that we used, it worked.
I think the strategy was good.
After working so many, you guys did comparative to other teams that I've watched. I thought you did pretty good. You need to talk to each other a little more.
That's what the communication we didn't have quite dialed in. Mm.
Figure out what you're going to talk about and when. Give me the dope now. Give me...
Yeah.
Just iron it out.
So the way we approached this was because you are really, really good at finding targets. Deej is awesome on glass. I mean, he picks them up just like that.
Well, I'll not, put a few.
Well, there was a couple we struggled on. But overall, you picked them up right away. So he would find the target. I was already laid either in a tripod or laid down on the rifle ready to go. And I was kind of help scan through the scope. He would find it, range it. And then when you told me the dope right away, then I was shooting. While I was shooting, he was already looking for the next one. And then I would shoot and blah, 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 do that.
Nice.
Sometimes he would range it, and then he would start looking for the next target, and I'm sitting there going, you going to give me my dope?
He goes, I understand.
Well, fuck, now I got to come back, and I already forgot the range that I just gave you. And oh, my God. So it wasn't bad.
No,
but not the team hunter matches are a different type of animal.
Yep, and they're a lot of fun, but I'd forget to write down it. I was trying to write down the yardage as I went and then write down my dope because our dope was not – going in, we thought our dope would be the same. It was not.
It was not the same.
Yeah. So I shot one, just the hunter match, and then we shot Andrew Owens and I shot the Outlaw Team Hunter match that Doug did that you guys both, actually all three of you RO'd at.
Right.
And we kind of, you know, had never done it before either, so we were stumbling and tripping all over each other, and then we kind of found a groove, and it started to get a little bit better, but, you know, we never did really click. We haven't done it enough. You know, you guys have been shooting for years and years and years, and me and him's been doing this for three, you know, and he's been doing it for two. So we had to figure out, okay, who's going to shoot first, who's going to, you know, glass, who's going to do ranging and stuff like that. And by about the fourth stage or so, we finally started to find a little bit of a groove. But yeah, the hunter matches, man, they're a ton of fun, but it's different. It's a different animal. You know, you have to find the targets, range them, dial, shoot, swap places.
That time goes a lot quicker than you think it does.
It reminds me of the old team sniper matches.
Sure.
You know, when you had the spotter, the shooter, and all that stuff. A couple times I was trying to call noon, 11. I'm looking at him, we're not in the same position. Mm. That's a dumbass move. Okay. You see the big tree with the Y? Nope, that didn't work either. But, we're going to have to just...
You guys would get behind each other, though, and point the barrel in the right direction. That helped a ton.
That helped a ton.
That helped
he
a
found
lot.
The target, and he's like, no, keep coming to the right. Keep coming. Yeah. Boom, there it is. And right there it was every time. So,
and it's little things like that that set you apart from other people. You know, you guys have been shooting together for a long time, you know, so.
Well, I mean, it's different when we're, you know, when we shoot long range and we're spotting for each other, we got that, we've always had that pattern down. This is a little bit, there's a lot more added to it.
Trying to steer it in, then you're trying to give wind, and then, you know, I thought I had a wind bitch for all day, and I got wind calls twice.
I told you what my wind holds were.
That wind wasn't the same twice all day long.
I told you on every single one. I said either straight up or left edge.
Yeah, every one.
What was the par time on those stages?
Six minutes.
Yeah, that's not much time. I mean,
it's not.
So that was one of the things that we did talk about before we went in. We said at 2 minutes in, if we haven't found all the targets, we're shooting.
Yeah,
we're not waiting for. We're not waiting until 4 minutes, and we held to that pretty good.
Pretty good. There was a couple of them where I got up and you got 50 seconds.
You're a speed shooter.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah,
you usually shoot better when you shoot fast.
Yeah, I don't think. Then I just.
You just shoot.
Just shoot.
Right.
And I usually do better that way. Yeah,
that's always done well for you.
You know, again, overall, the match was really good. It was a lot of fun. There was a couple of target placements that I'm just going to say it, I don't agree with. I think that should have been a little bit more well thought out with the one target there at 15 yards where you were shooting back in towards the bank where people were walking on that ridge. Mm. I was not... You would have had to been there and seen it. You were shooting downhill into a creek bed.
All you have to do is wiggle. And
that ridge was probably 50, 60 feet high.
Right at that.
But you were still shooting back in that same direction. You could see people walking on the ridge. So I didn't like that. And then we had another target where you could see the tractor behind it on somebody else's property and a big Allison Ag, whatever it was, big orange tractor. If you miss that tree, there is a really good chance.
The ball's going to be dropping by that range quite a bit, but you might have skipped her in.
If you didn't have your elevation dialed in or if you left it on the last setting from the last one, there was a chance that you could have put a round on that tractor. I didn't care for that, but aside from that, it was a pretty good match, and we started a little late.
Yeah, we started a little late, but we flowed through really, really well, too. So
that's something I've noticed with the hunter matches. They seem to flow really well.
You gotta.
Dude, we didn't rest the whole day. Not once.
I think they got held up twice, and that was it.
And you and Dakota were there helping us, you know, with scoring the other squads and doing all that other stuff. I mean, everybody was busy all day long.
Yeah.
So it did flow well. I think we were done at, what, 3 o'clock, something like that?
That's not too bad.
Yeah. It started, 2 hours late, though?
I think I was back home by 7:30.
We was at Pear Tree by 5?
5.
That'd be about right. So all in all, I came home and I completely tore every single one of my magazines down and cleaned them. I mean, there was dirt in the bottom of my magazines from all that dust floating around. And I pulled my bolt out and it just sounded like it was sitting on sandpaper. So everything got a very, very thorough cleaning.
I just took the bolt and dumped it in the cleaner. Go ahead for multiple cycles.
I took it outside with brake cleaner and just blasted it.
So. I put it in the ultrasonic and you just watched it do like the cloud thing. Go.
Oh, by the way, congratulations to Doug and Reese for taking top honors at that match.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they slayed it.
They killed it.
They did really, really good. And there were some... There were some good teams there. We got to spend the day with Art and Sarah and Gino and Jamie. So it was a family affair up there that day. So we had a lot of fun. Just watching Art and Sarah shoot, it was so funny.
That made it worth it right there.
Sarah's like, I don't give a shit.
Art, on the other hand, did.
He always does.
Oh, it was funny. Product spotlight tonight. Jason, I told you about this last week as soon as I found out about it.
I'm excited.
Everybody knows that Jason and I like our Canik pistols. So Canik is coming out with a new one called the TTI Combat. They teamed up with Terran Tactical, new polymer frame design, designed by Terran. Sleek design, built by the best, for the best, you know, kind of all that marketing stuff there. It's going to have the first Canik compensator on it. Go look it up. You can find some media on it right now. It looks badass.
Yes, it does.
So I went ahead and threw a couple on the wish list. Once one of my distributors gets those in stock, we'll have a couple here to sell. It's got a bunch of other stuff. It does look pretty cool. So it's going to be $949 MSRP without the optic. And then if you throw Canix optic on there, it goes up to $1,099, so $1,100. Yeah, those red dots, those Canix red dots are
pretty good. I'm very pleased. Nice, dude. I'm very pleased.
Not having any issues whatsoever with either one of mine. So, all right. So, listeners, pay attention. Next podcast, we are going to be doing a game. And this is going to be Guess the Gun. So, step one, this is for listeners. What you need to do is you need to go to precisionriflenetwork.com and subscribe to the channel. Step two is to click the Contact Us link on the webpage once you've subscribed and email us. And in the subject line, you need to write, I want free stuff. The body of the message must provide some legitimate feedback from the podcast. So just quick line, hey, we love the podcast, whatever. We hate the podcast and I still want free stuff. I don't care. Write whatever the hell you want. So the subject line's got to be, I want free stuff, and then you got to give us some feedback. So on the next podcast, whoever the co-hosts are, we're going to have listener names will be randomly selected from feedback through social media and email. Those names are randomly assigned to our in-studio co-host and guest. And whoever answers correctly to that assigned name, we're going to be sending you a free gift. I think the first thing that we're going to give away is that Coltac suppressor caddy. It's sitting over there on the bench. I think it holds 6 suppressors. As many suppressors as you start collecting, you might need that.
I'm going to need a couple of them, hopefully.
You're going to have to get you one of them. So anyway, that's what we'll do. So again, if you can go and subscribe, we're going to take that on the next podcast, and we're going to play that. And I've got a couple in the caddy already. Now, right. I think it'll be fun.
So I got to sit where?
Wherever you want, dude. So wherever you want.
The very first one that I did, I wanted to make sure that at least the first half a dozen hints are so obscured that he won't be able to pick it up. At least I hope not.
They're going to have to be pretty obscure for Deej to not get it.
I'm looking at it going, there's no way he knows this. Well, he might. Well, hey, so let's move that down the list and let's put another one in its place. So we'll be doing that. That will be recorded on March 23rd. And we will play the game and select a winner on that episode. And then we'll notify you by email that it was you that won. And we'll send it to you free of charge.
If you want to use a code name, we can do that. But we get to pick the code name.
It's not going to be very flattering, I promise.
Title sponsor for the Precision Rifle Network podcast is brought to you by Arkin Optics. Arkin Optics has a wide variety of quality optics and accessories at affordable prices. Arkin's line of optics include LPVOs, medium and long range scopes, as well as a line of digital night vision scopes. All Arkin Optics are backed by a lifetime transferable warranty. Digital optics are backed by a 2-year warranty. The PRN staff agrees that customers are getting what we like to call $1,000 glass for less than $500. Go to ArkinOpticsUSA.com to find out more. So we've got two main topics tonight, or two reviews that we're going to do tonight. I'm going to be doing one on an optic, and Jason's going to be doing one on a holster. But before we get to that, something that I've been thinking about, what are your guys' goals for 2024? Talk amongst yourselves.
I want to shoot more centerfire matches this year. So I've got the equipment to do it. I've been so hyper-focused on rimfire, and it is a lot of fun, and I love all the guys I shoot with. But after shooting that centerfire match last 2 weekends ago, and it was as bad as it was, obviously my mechanics and everything are lacking. If I can improve on the centerfire side, I'm sure the rimfire side will follow. You know, so like I said, I have the equipment to do it. I have the time. My wife fully supports everything that I do in the shooting world. I just got to do it. You know, more dry fire. Knoyer has been a huge help with giving me things that I can work on, how to work on it, when to work on it. You know, I did for a long time, and then, you know, kids playing baseball and football and soccer and all this stuff, you know, my kids come first, period.
It's really easy to get lazy if you're shooting rimfire.
Yes.
Not controlling the recoil, yes. Not driving the rifle.
I mean, even with Doug, Doug's a tough match director, but he still gives you pretty generous targets, you know. So my fundamentals are not 100%, you know, so I got to work on that. And I want to get better in the center fire side of things and the pistol side, you know. I want to shoot a lot more pistol matches too. We're diving off head deep in these Canic pistols and stuff, and, you know, the platypuses and, you know, everything else.
I'm waiting on Jason to get his platypus. Yeah. I'm super excited about that.
You know, I just take a step back from the rimfire stuff a little bit, get more pistol matches, get more center fire matches in, and just get better at shooting. That's my goal for this year.
Did you sign up for that 3-gun match?
I haven't yet, no. But I'm going, I'm going to.
Actually, I don't. Did Gen 3 even fill up last year? I don't know that it completely filled up. But it may be tough to get on our squad.
Sure.
Because, you know, more celebrities.
I get it. I get it.
You know what I mean.
Especially in the 3-gun world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, in the 3-gun world, yeah.
Who the hell are you? Yeah, we're kind of legend.
I just got lucky, you know, falling into their shooting community with you two guys right out of the gate. It's like, I didn't even realize, you know, I'm with the two best shooters in the United States. I had no idea. Actually, they're two best bullshitters in the United States, probably.
That's right.
Especially Deej. You've got that down, brother. And I love it.
I can talk the shit.
The older I get, the better my stories get. Seriously, if you're going to sign up for that, don't worry about equipment. We've got you covered.
Well, I didn't realize it was in September either. I've got plenty of time to get equipment built up.
Yeah, because you shoot Friday, you'll shoot Saturday, and then you'll shoot one stage on Sunday. Yeah. It was a blast last year. And what we walked off with the prize table, even as far down as we finished, I paid my entry fee with what I won.
I'm pretty sure I didn't.
Even by the time I got down, it got down to me. So that the prize table was freaking huge. It's a fun match.
Yeah, we was one spot away from each other on the finish.
Yeah. I mean, by and really, like I think one, the only a thing, couple shots.
The only thing I'll need to get, because I've got ARs, I've got pistols. The only thing I'm going to really need to get is a decent shotgun.
We got you covered.
You know, so
I mean, if you get something, great. If not, you got stuff here to use. Don't worry about that. Just sign up and
just depend. Just figure out what class you want to do, but loading them two mags sucks ass.
Yeah.
I like slapping the mag in. Sure. I'm a fan.
Big old 19-round banana magazine.
So everybody says, if you shoot that, you got to shoot open. I'm like, I could give a shit less what class I'm here to have fun and shoot.
If
you
ain't got to worry about me beating your ass. I'm probably going to sign up for open. It's not going to matter. I'm going for the fun, not for the credentials.
I'm just going to cost Chad Pasters. That's the only thing I'm going for. You only have to shoot it twice. Well, the voices said otherwise.
Yeah. Oh, Chad.
What about you, Amy?
Oh, I want to try pistol. I don't know if I'm going to do 3-gun or not. I want to come watch one first, maybe.
It's like anything else. You just got to go do it.
I definitely want to get into the pistol, and I want to get out that new 223 I got. I mean, I got a beautiful gun from Allen at Full Circle. I want to shoot it. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's F-class or we go back to center fire. I just want to shoot it. Yeah, super excited about you getting your platypus, because that's going to decide whether I order one.
I'm gonna order one.
I know I'm gonna end up ordering one. I just want to see it first and see what he thinks, because I trust him for some reason.
We all do. I don't know why. All it does is cost us money.
I know. I told him that. I said I gotta get a second job because he's an overachiever.
I told her I sent her a text the other day. I said, I'm a dealer for Fix-It Sticks now.
And, well, of course you are.
And JP.
Yeah.
I sent him my tax information day before yesterday, so I'm sure they're processing it.
You are the reason why I work 20 hours overtime a week.
Between me and Alan, I mean, you know, we're great at helping people spend their money.
Yeah.
Dealer takes on a different meaning with him.
Luckily today at Full Circle, we just went down and hung out. It didn't really cost me that much. But luckily we did go down there today, because I think I got a pretty decent FUD story for later.
Mm. Anything else?
Nah, mostly I just want to get into that pistol. Shoot that damn 223. We want to get back into, or try F-class so we can get Coda shooting more.
That's the idea
behind that.
I like the F-class.
Heck, I'll go with you for that. Me and Coda go shoot some F-class matches together.
We're supposed to hit Vapor Trail. For what is it?
We ain't gonna make the first one.
We're not gonna make the first one. When's the second one?
Later in the year.
I don't know if I'd want to go up there and shoot against I'll those guys at Vapor Trail.
That's a beautiful one, that place.
I mean, there's no way any of us would win.
No.
Well, no, you don't go to win.
Yeah. I don't go to matches
not
to win.
At Vapor Trail.
It'll be fun, though. Think of that win.
Oh, yeah. Oh, oh yeah.
Especially 308, 1,000 yards.
Uh-huh.
Oh, will it make it there? Will it make it there? Oh, look at that. It made it.
Might have make it. Alan said so, I believe him.
Lob it in. What about you, Deej?
I want to do the F class.
You're not old enough.
For F class?
You're not old enough yet. Oh, that's bench rest. You're not ready.
You still got to lay on your belly.
Yeah.
I like laying on my belly.
Me too.
I like shooting laying down.
F class, FTR? What?
Yeah, probably. 308, 223.
That would be fun, though.
We're trying to talk Coda into shooting his fall for F class.
Why not?
I'm like, why not?
Why not?
I think that'd be cool as hell.
I'm done.
You can see every guy on the line going, what has he got?
You can't take the break off, though.
Shows up with a scar. Let's do this.
It's got a flash hider, but it's still a muzzle device. So, yeah, they'd be pissy.
You can't take it off.
I'm sure they're not going to tell you to go home.
It's built in.
It's welded and pinned.
No, it will not come off.
Oh, I got you.
The 3-gun, really enjoying that. There's no shits to give, but you just get to shoot a shitload. Really want to do that 2-gun rimfire.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
That does sound like fun.
All steel targets, no fucking paper. Piss on paper.
I've got the equipment to do that, too. I got a few 22 pistols, and obviously I got 22 rifles.
Well, we talked to Doug about it last weekend a little bit more when we were at the match.
I don't know if we want to do it more like a 3-gun style or if we want to do it more like a precision. Years ago, they used to do a lot of pistol with the precision shooting.
Yeah.
I don't know if we want to do that base or if we just want to slew the pew-pews.
Just go full John Wick style.
Yeah.
I like that.
Let's go to the stupid setting.
Yeah.
That's my favorite setting.
I just think it'd be fun and be something
different.
I think it'd be a lot of fun. And it wouldn't be really super expensive, you know, like the centerfire stuff.
I really like the 2-gun idea with rimfire. That does sound like a lot of fun.
Troy,
and
I
like the idea of running it like a 3-gun.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
Troy at Columbia does some of that, doesn't he? The 2-gun rimfire stuff.
Steel challenge. But he's still
got some. He does steel challenge.
Well, for me this year, I'm kind of in the same boat as everyone sitting here. I'm really, really enjoying the 3-gun. That's probably my favorite right now. However, after shooting the hunter match last weekend, it's kind of a toss up.
I want to try one still.
I really like the pistol. I feel like when I just go shoot pistol, I'm missing that rifle and shotgun thing. Like, I want more to it than just shooting pistol. I like it, but it's a little further down on the list than
when I shoot the pistol matches. It always feels like a training exercise.
It's nice going to a match. All you got to take is a little black bag with some ammo in your pistol and your holster.
Easy peasy, yeah.
Pretty much.
I just
want to
do it. I want to get better at pistol. So
it does. It made me a better shooter. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. And then just watching guys like Kevin Craig and, you know, all those guys that we shoot with, I picked up a lot. The one thing that I'm going to work on this year for pistol, whether it's 3-gun or just shooting USPSA, like watching Ben Blevins and some of those guys, how they can walk and shoot on small targets. And I'm not talking IPSC targets. I mean, they're shooting 3-inch targets at 20 yards on the move. I'm like, how in the hell?
They're doing it between the steps.
I know, but I have to work on that.
It's the timing.
Because I stop, shoot, stop, shoot, stop, and that's what just kills me on time.
100 years ago, I used to be able to do that, you know, when we were shooting the flintlocks and stuff. But
just call him the Minuteman.
Yeah.
Fucking on the run with a ramrod going down the barrel.
Poke the fucking eye out.
Trip and fall. Stab himself.
But them skills are just gone.
But that's just like everything else we do in shooting. If you don't use it, you lose it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have much to lose, so I really ain't lost yet. If we're being honest here.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MK Machining. MK Machining offers dozens of products, including grips, throw levers, targets, optics, and optic accessories. High-quality products at affordable prices. Use code PRN10 for 10% discount at checkout. Go to mkmachining.com to find out more.
So first main topic tonight is going to be my initial review of the Legend Precision LRA 4-24x50 first focal plane scope. A few weeks ago, I received a marketing email from Legend Precision Optics. After I took a look at their website, I decided to send an email to get more information and inquire about getting a scope for a review. A week later, Steve Kreiner contacted me, and we talked on the phone for nearly an hour. Steve, by the way, is the owner of Legend Precision Optics. Steve gave me the full rundown on how his company came about and what he set out to do. Very interesting story with Steve, and we will plan to have him on a podcast at some point in the future. Legend Precision was started in 2023, so obviously they are very new to the market, and there aren't many reviews out there yet on his optics. He did say he has more optics and reticle choices coming in the future, as well as improvements to the initial line of scopes, so we will be on the lookout for those. After our talk, he decided to send me a scope so we could review it. With that being said, I will disclose that this scope was sent to me without any money exchanging hands, but I also made him aware that we will not be holding back on our review, and we will be honest with our audience. So let's get into my initial thoughts and impressions. Again, the optic name is the Legend Precision LRA 4-24x50 first focal plane scope. Manufacturer's description is, our long-range scopes optics are clear with high light transmission, true color details, and no distortion. First focal plane scope with 34mm tube, ideal for hunting precision shooting and competition shooting. Illuminated red dot with 6 brightness settings for fast acquisition in day or night. Simple, fast turret adjustment, locking turrets with precision machining for windage elevation adjustments without tools. Super durable construction, rugged design, engineered premier materials like aircraft grade aluminum, performs in extreme weather and tested to military standards. That is what is listed on their website, and that's how they describe the optic. The features of this optic, the reticle is a red fire dot, is what it's called. Magnification range is 4-24. Field of view at 100 yards at 4 power is 5.9 feet, and at 24 power it is 0.96 feet, so basically a foot at 100 yards. This is, again, in the first focal plane. The scope is available in both mil and MOA, but again, this one tested was in mil. Click adjustments are 1/10. Parallax is 25 yards to infinity. Tube size, 34. We talked about the illuminated reticle, but only the center dot is illuminated, not the entire reticle. The eye relief is claimed to be 3.5 to 4 inches. Zero stop, no. Adjustment range, 30 mil, windage and elevation as claimed. Adjustments per revolution is 6 mil on elevation and windage per the website, that's their claimed. Length is 12.6 inches. Weight is 33.43 ounces. I put it on my scale and I had 33.8. So it's like 4/10 difference, but not running like a calibrated lab grade scale. So pretty darn close there. What comes in the box? You get the scope, obviously. You get a 2.14 inch sunshade lens covers, cleaning cloth, CR2023 battery, Allen wrench, and spec card. This optic was designed by Steve Kreiner, the owner of Legend Precision Optics. The manufacturer assembly country of origin is China, and the glass comes from Japan. It is waterproof, has a lifetime warranty, and a list price of $899 that is available on their website. So here's my thoughts. The turrets are positive and audible with no noticeable lash or false positioning. The actual range of adjustment per revolution is 8 mil, so it's not 6 as advertised. Assume that it was just a typo, and that's both windage and elevation. You get 34.8 mil of actual elevation, so I was actually able to get 4.8 more out of the travel that I ran it through than what is claimed, so that's good. However, I got 19.2 mil of total windage, so I'm getting 10.8 less than what's claimed. Still, 19 mil of total windage is pretty god darn good. I think we're okay there, but I'm guessing that's probably just typos on the website. I like the compact length of 12.6 inches, but it is a bit hefty for its weight class and size, again at 33.84 ounces per my scale, so it does put it at the upper limits of the weight class in that price category. The enlarged parallax wheel is a nice option. It would be useful for rimfire shooters who are constantly adjusting parallax and for hunters who are adjusting for distance on a moving animal. The included Allen wrench is actually a star wrench. In either case, I could not figure out what that wrench was for. So when I pulled the wrench out of the box, I originally thought it was going to be for zero stop because I didn't know that this scope did not have a zero stop when I got it. So I started looking around the scope. I'm like, well, this wrench doesn't fit anything. Now, on the website, it's claimed to be an Allen wrench, and it's actually a star wrench. So I couldn't figure it out. So I sent Steve an email, and I asked him, I said, what's the wrench for? And he goes, it's just in the box, LOL. So if you buy a Legend Precision Optic and you get the wrench, yeah, you do whatever you want with it because it doesn't go to the scope.
He had a bunch of extras laying around, put them in a box. Hey, that's okay. It's an extra piece.
And the other part of the reason I couldn't figure out what it was for is a manual was not included with the optic. For the experienced shooter, it's probably not necessary. But for the first time or entry level shooter, this is something that we probably need to get included, right? Or at least provide a little card in the box to a link, you know, so you can go get it in PDF and you can print it if you want or whatever. Steve said that there is one online, but I could not find it. I looked his website, every single page, every detail. If it's in there, I didn't see it. Some info, however, on the website, it at least shows on the reticle what the sub-10s mean. Because in the reticle, there's no numbers that tell you 1 mil or whatever. So for the experienced shooter, setting the turret to the zero mark is very straightforward once your rifle is zeroed. For a beginner, this may not be so obvious, and thus a user manual would be helpful. I was able to find a YouTube video from Steve on his YouTube channel showing people how to reset the zero on it. You know, so when you get it back to zero, the marks line up. It's really easy. It's just a typical screw on top of the turret. You pull the cap off, set it back on zero, and away you go. At this price point, I would expect a zero-stop system. Given the choice, I'd prefer the zero-stop over the locking turrets. Steve mentioned that he did drop the ball on the initial design, and this feature will be incorporated on future models. So he is aware of that. The locking turrets are a nice feature. They pull up and lock down easily. This is also a slight negative, because it is easy to push the turret down as you're spinning back and forth up top. A couple of times when I was really going through it, I'd actually start to push it down, and they're really easy to pull up and push back down, but that is a little bit of a negative in my book. So remember, like, I think it was the, was that Bushnell you used to have, Amy, that had the locking turrets? Was it a Bushnell?
Yes.
HDMR.
Remember how those, I mean, you had it.
Yeah.
It popped down, right? And when you were turning the turrets, it was really, really hard to push that down. These popped down pretty easily. Magnification and parallax adjustments were very stiff at first. They have gotten a bit better, but they are still stiffer than I would like. They can be a little tough to turn. I will need to be putting a throw lever on this if I'm going to run this rifle in any kind of competition. Speaking of the turrets, they are a helical type cut, which is reminiscent of the zero compromise scopes and does add to the overall aesthetics of the scope. The exit pupil focus is not stiff and was very easily adjustable, so not the same stiffness or setting up your focus. Exactly, thank you. The illuminated dot, not what I would consider daylight bright, and most aren't. Most of your competition style rifle scopes, you're not going to get that daylight bright like you would in a red, like a pistol red dot, something like that. Setting the brightness too high in a very low light situation causes the entire view to flood out in a sea of red, but at a modest setting, the red dot is usable and will help pinpoint targets in low light. You take that scope outside when it's pitch dark, turn that red dot on, it floods out. I mean, not like you're going to be shooting, I wouldn't think you're going to be shooting just that scope in pitch dark, except for a DJ maybe. I don't know.
It's a possibility.
It works good at like twilight, but once you start getting past twilight, the sun goes down over the horizon. Once you get past that point, it starts to flood it out. So
even at a low setting?
it's obviously it's not as bad, but it kind of
you still get the haze.
It kind of bleeds
the dispersion.
It bleeds over into the rest of the reticle. So, competition. I mean, we don't really need that. I mean, I've used it a couple of times, but very, very rarely do I use the illuminated reticle. I guess for a hunter, that could make a little bit of a difference. So it'd be something to watch out for, but...
Night match.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'd run a night match. Depends on
the how... The reticle itself isn't illuminated, so trying to shoot it at a night match would be tough, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, holding wind would be near impossible.
The provided scope caps are similar to the ones that come with the Vortex Strike Eagle, so they're just like that rubber band type. Nothing special about those. They do work well. The reticle is pretty simple. I would consider this more of a hunting reticle, which I believe is the target market, the actual target market for this scope. The sub-10s on the horizontal plane, smaller marks, 0.25 a half and 0.75 mil in between the larger tick values there. There's no numbers in the scope, so it's about as plain can be for having a quote-unquote tactical-style reticle. As long as you know what those sub-10s are for, you're in good shape.
If that's the only scope you got.
Right, exactly. The vertical sub-10s give you 3 mils above and below the center, so 1, 2, and 3 mils of wind holds on the marks below to the center. Think of it like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. You're not getting the full Christmas tree. You're just getting a little short one that takes you to 3 mils. It's not bad. I would like to see a line go all the way down with at least some stadium marks on there to tell me 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 mils, whatever. It is a pretty simple reticle, and it does not take up the entire view. So I like it for what it's intended for, but we'll get to the thoughts here in a minute. Specs on the reticle do not say if it is a wire or etched reticle, but I did talk with Steve about this, and he did confirm that it is an etched reticle, which I assumed that it was. Sub-10s basically disappear at 4 power, but the crosshairs are still visible, so it does provide an adequate aiming point at the lowest magnification. Reticle size is nearly perfect for me at that 14 to 16 range, which is where most of my scopes live. The eye release starts to get pretty tight as we start climbing in magnification above 16. Getting the scope position properly on your rifle will be absolutely critical if you're going to use the higher magnification range. There is a slight bit of edge roll that I noticed at 4 power, but once I started getting at 5 and above, most of that edge roll went away. So I don't know that if it's a true 4 power. There is definitely some edge roll at 4 power. Glass clarity overall is good. For me, there was no noticeable CA, and the contrast in color, I'd say, is probably right on par with this price point. There is a slight loss of contrast and clarity on the very outer edges, but overall, I feel the glass is good for the price point. Tracking, I have not had an opportunity to run a tracking test, so we'll be updating on that later on. The overall fit and finish of the scope is very good. Aesthetically, it's, in my opinion, it's extremely pleasing to the eye. The ergonomics, I think, overall are good. Do believe this scope would fit nicely for the hunter requiring longer range magnification and essential information provided in the reticle to make fast changes in wind or elevation holds. Given Steve's history with coyote hunting, I believe this scope falls right into that category. This would be a suitable option for a target shooter or competitor that can quickly calculate sub-10s and doesn't require actual numbers in the reticle to reference, nor requires elevation holds beyond 3 mils. So, my initial rating on this is 6.5 out of 10. And here's the reason why I gave it the 6.5. I do have limited time with this optic. It is currently sitting in a hog saddle on a mount. It has not been on a rifle yet. So everything that I've looked at has been outside the shop, across these fields, down the road, doing all that stuff. I've taken it out. I looked at it through in the rain, low light, daylight, everything else. So I have had some time behind the glass, just not shooting with it. The lack of zero stop, that's kind of a showstopper for me at that price point. So I think once he gets the revised line out with the zero stop on there, I think these will get more popular. The stiff turrets, those turrets need to be loosened up a little bit. At this price point, this scope has a lot of competition in its class, a lot. This is where most competitors are going to fall. I'm at that $1,000 budget. You've got the Arkin EPL series. You've got the Vortex Viper, PST Gen 2. You've got the Athlon Aries BTS. You got the Athlon Midas Tac HD, all within $100 or so of this scope.
The Bushnell.
Bushnell.
Yeah, the Match Pro ED.
I think once I get some time behind the scope, if it tracks good, I am going to shoot some matches with it this year. Don't know if it's going to be a rimfire, centerfire yet. Doesn't really matter to me. If it tracks good, I think that overall rating is going to go up, but it's not going to be a 9 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10 scope. Put the zero stop in it. If it tracks good, if it performs well, I think it's probably a 7.5 or an 8, as you see it right now. But you got to get that zero stop on there.
I played with it for 10 minutes outside when we got here. Initial feelings. Parallax, very touchy. And just because you're clear doesn't mean the parallax is out. You got to fine tune it before you get the parallax out. Very touchy. Very small eye box on that. The glass, for the price point,
well, I think. Hang on just a second. Eye box is tight at what power? All power?
Yeah, to me, yes.
So see, I didn't notice that, but 15 power?
I didn't notice down low.
That 15, like I said before, 15 and above, or 16, above 16.
Took it all the way down, took it all the way up. Even down at 4, I thought it was a lot smaller than it should be.
Okay.
The glass, it's okay. It's about what you'd expect at this price point.
Mm-hmm.
Not super clear, a little bit of wash.
Did you notice that edge roll?
Yes. Yeah, and you got a little bit of, even at 15 power, there was a little bit of edge distortion.
On the very outer edges.
On the very outer edges. I like the turrets.
I do too. I really
like the turrets. But they are very soft for lock and unlock. Like you said, that's good and bad. Because I can see where if you're in a hurry, you got your weight on it, it's going to go back down, you're going to be locked, you're going to be frustrated.
Or somebody puts too many Ugga Duggas on there, you strip it out.
Yep. I am not a huge fan of that reticle. It would be good for close-in hunting, what I'd consider close-in hunting, under 400 yards.
It's almost kind of like a BDC type.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yes.
I don't want to use that term, but it kind of reminds me of a BDC.
And it would be one that I'd have on a dedicated rig. So I know what the holdovers are and all that stuff, and I could just hammer with it.
So you wouldn't take that scope and hop it around every week?
Like you do with your Schmidt.
It's just in his genetics. He can't help it.
I hear people, I don't want to change my scope. Well, why not? I change scopes quite a bit. I just want to see the difference. It would be good for that or for almost no shit because it's a very simple reticle. The field of view is kind of tight. The eye box is kind of tight. So if you're not in a perfect position, plus with the parallax being iffy, but if it was running gun, throwing lead, running coyotes, stuff like that, I think it'd be good for that.
Hog hunting.
Yeah, hog hunting, that'd be another good
one. That'd probably be great for hog hunting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for up close, moving ones. The illumination, it just does the dot. I always have issues with that. I know it goes both ways, so you don't have the bleed out and stuff like that, but I want that information.
We've been spoiled with high-end scopes.
Yeah, but even comparing it, because, you know, I've run how many Strike Eagles, PSTs. I really, for the price point, I really like the Bushnell. Told everybody I can. For what it cost, I think that's a good scope. I think they could do better at this price point.
And keep in mind that this is his first.
Sure.
This is
Gen 1.
Gen 1. The company is only a year old. So I think first run at it.
I think he did good for a first run.
Pretty darn nice scope.
I don't think you'd be totally disappointed in it.
No.
But for like coyotes and stuff like that, I think, it'd be a good scope for that.
It's versatile.
Yeah.
But kind of a jack. I would agree. Amy didn't even look at it.
I didn't look. It was too cold outside.
Is it pretty?
It's pretty.
You think it's pretty. So, see, there you go. Better to look good than to shoot good.
The parallax knob I like, but I just like the parallax.
I do like the
setting itself is so touchy inside there to get the parallax set. Because when you're going back and forth, oh, yep, there it is. And that was very, very touchy to get set.
It did the same thing for me.
What did he design it for?
Well, I mean, you go off what's on the website and what he's saying he designed it for, but you look at his history, he is a huge coyote hunter.
Okay.
I think he built a great scope for coyote and hog hunting.
Oh, yes, absolutely. If I was going to build a dedicated coyote rig, that scope would probably be sitting on it.
Sure.
What do you think, Jace?
I think aesthetically, I think it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I think he did a great job with the look of the scope. I do like the locking turrets. Like you guys both said, they're a little soft. When I run a rifle in a match, I run the hell out of it. And I'm gonna close that turret on accident. The zero stop, that's kind of a game changer for me also. The reticle is very lacking for what we do. For coyote hog hunting, I think it's great. The parallax wheel, I think is great. But like DJ said, it's very touchy. You go past and it's gone quick. I think in the price point, I think the glass is pretty decent. I think that the magnification wheel was quite stiff, like you said. Mm-hmm. You're definitely going to need to put a throw lever on that. I like the compact size. I like how it's short.
Doesn't
take up a lot of room. You know, you'd be able to set it in rifle stands and stuff without beating it all to pieces.
Yeah, so it's right now it's sitting in that. How do you pronounce it?
I was told they were called Weed Air. Is that scope mount. I don't know if that's right or not, but whenever I called to ask about it, that's what they called it.
I'm going to call it the Adir.
And I'm with you. I mean,
I have no idea if that's right or not.
That mount's awesome.
It is badass. It is. And it looks awesome sitting in that mount.
The quarter, is that the one that MK is on?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
So Joel picked that up and brought it over here, and I freaking love it.
I think the quarter mil subtensions in the scope is
a little weird.
It's off. Mm-hmm. You know, we're used to 2/10 or 1/2 mil, you know, or.
But you've got the 1/2 mil, so now you got a one in between.
Right. So that's not a game changer. It was just something I wasn't ready for. I'm used to seeing those lines in an MOA scope, you know, where it's broken down in quarters.
You know, I'm trying to think of this from a hunter's perspective, and obviously I don't have the expertise like a lot of real serious hunters do, but do you think most hunters need 2/10?
No.
Probably not.
They're going to be making less, so you got less to concentrate on.
We're looking at it from a competition.
They're
going to
be making
standpoint.
More gross adjustments.
Sure.
Not finer adjustments like us in the competition. So I could see where I think that makes sense.
And that's why I say for coyote and hog hunt, I think it's perfect. Mm-hmm. I think it would be a great, you know, put that in your lineup and use it.
Yeah.
You know.
So instead of three, you know, hold 3/10 win, I just go to that first 7/10, and that's 2.5/10 of win.
Also, like
that's close enough.
I'd like to see more reticle. I'd like to have more information. You know, a little bit more Christmas tree in there. You know, maybe put some numbers in there too for guys that haven't been doing this for years. You know, it could throw people off because there are.
It'd be worse for the guys that been doing it for years because we're used to having numbers.
Sure.
A lot of us run. Okay, I'm a little unusual. I run a shitload of different scopes.
Yeah, we know.
So I got to stop and think which scope I'm running. This one, you'd have to put it on a dedicated rig just to have it on there.
I think the aesthetics of it, though, and the for being a Gen 1, I think he did a great job. I mean, they get a zero stop in there. They get us a little bit more information in that glass. Now, I did notice, just like you noticed and you noticed, the fishbowl effect. I saw it more at higher magnification, say above 12 through the 24. As you moved up, it got worse. But it wasn't a deal breaker. You know, 90% of the glass was still clear. I think at that price point, I think the glass is pretty decent. You know, I've got scopes that are worse than that. I've got scopes that are better than that, you know, in that same price point. I think all in all, I think they did a pretty good job for a Gen 1. You know, he's got a great foundation to work from, and I'm sure he'll put in the time to improve on it.
He's very reachable.
Sure.
I mean, I can text him, call him, email him. He answers right away. Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think for the first run, I think he did a hell of a job.
Yeah.
So that's our initial review. We'll be testing that all this year, and we'll be doing a long-term review on it here once we get some more time behind it. Okay.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Coltac. Serious gear for serious shooters. Coltac offers a great selection of shooter gear, including suppressor covers, shooting bags, ammo nobbles, and tripod accessories, just to name a few. Use PRN10 for a 10% discount at checkout. Go to col-tac.com to find out more.
You are up, Jason. You got a review to do, too.
I do. Alan was supposed to be here to do it with me, but he's got 9 6-year-old girls running around his house right now. We should pray for him.
I bet he wishes he was here.
Tier 1 concealment holsters. I'm new to the higher-end holster market. I had talked to several guys. You know, like you said, we got into these Canics. You know, I was ready to get a new carry pistol. So I ended up at Tier 1. The Xiphos V2 is the appendix carry holster that has been designed to be minimalistic, but also very sturdy and reliable. Being that it is designed to be worn in the front of the body, it is fitted with two standard 5-hole clips that keep the holster in place for smooth draw and reholster every time, as well as our new proprietary concealment claw that'll pull the gun into your body for ultimate concealment. The Xiphos also features adjustable retention and ride height. Looking for something that can carry an extra magazine, check out the, you know, other lines that they have here. I've had this holster now for probably a month. I spent a substantial amount of time adjusting the ride height. The version that I did get has the Utila clips on it. It does have the space for the TLR-7A light that I have on it, and it's also optics cut. It's got the extra claw on the backside of it to keep the magazine pulled in tight to your body. Alan was actually nice enough to send me with the one that he carries. He's got the one that has the extra mag attached to it. He's got the other style clips that don't. These Utila clips actually lock to your pants. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have a hell of a time to get this off your body. He's been carrying that one for a few years. It's an older design. It also has the clip on the side to keep the magazine close to your body. So far, in the amount of time that I've had this, it is super comfortable. You know, I'm a bigger guy, you know, kind of thick in the midsection. I can lower my ride height down just a little bit. I'm comfortable driving my truck, sitting at dinner. You know, I wear this to church. I wear it everywhere we go. And so far, I'm extremely pleased. I've had several other lower end holsters that just wasn't pleased with. They were uncomfortable. They weren't as adjustable. They weren't cut for lights. They weren't cut for optics. I think Tier 1 kind of knocked it out of the park with this one. You can get it. Like, mine does not have the extra mag holster on it. It's just for the pistol. And so far, I'm incredibly pleased. You can get it with different style clips. You can get it with different style, what they call them, wedge cushions or something, so you could push the grip of the pistol more into your body. This is not a holster for people that carry. I don't know if you guys noticed, I took that grip tape off because it was legit wearing a hole in my stomach. So my wife told me, she's like, we just need to get you some undershirts. And I'm like, I'm fat. I get hot easy. I don't want to wear more clothes than I have to. But so far, I'm incredibly happy and pleased with this. The adjustability on it's super easy. You can get them in probably 50 different colors and designs.
Do you know the level of retention? Is it a...
I want to say, I think it's...
A 2, maybe?
A level 2. But when you go on their website, even for the one that I got, it's got tons of different options. What light, you know, they had... There must have been 100 different models of pistol that they make it for. Obviously, dominant hand, left or right, what color you want. If you've got a threaded barrel or not, you've got 3 different options for what kind of belt clips you want for an inch and a half belt or an inch and three quarter. Mm-hmm. You could add the standard wedges. You could add the inch and a half wedges, which is what I got, was the inch and a half wedges.
And this is inside the waistband.
That is inside the waistband, yes.
And are you carrying an appendix?
Carry it directly in the front, right next to my button.
Gotcha.
You know, with me not having a lot of high-end holsters, this thing has just been a game changer. Mm-hmm. It's super comfortable. I looked at those. I looked at Vetters. I looked at We the People. I mean, I looked at all of them. And after talking to a lot of guys that, you know, I carry all the time.
It fits your Canic.
It needs, and it does. Perfect. It absolutely does. The Canic with the mechanic red dot and the TLR-7A light on it, I mean, it fits flawlessly. DJ noticed earlier that my retention is a little bit tight. Mm-hmm.
You thought it was tight?
I thought
it was a little loose.
I thought it was a little tight too. I'd like to back it out maybe a quarter turn.
Yeah.
I did do a little bit of adjustment on it, but not a whole lot. I was more concerned with trying to get the ride height right where it was comfortable. You know, you wear a gun and you sit down in a chair or something, and, you know, us bigger guys, it just digs into your gut. And it's like, if something happens, how am I going to draw this damn thing?
Am I going to push my fat out of the way?
But with the way they've got it designed and the way, you know, with this wedge system that's on here, it keeps your pants out of the way. And literally, I can get to it even sitting down, no problem.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't, wedge itself into your junk and everything else. So
how long have you had it now?
I think I've had it 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Maybe close to a month.
And you've carried it every day?
Every day.
That doesn't show anywhere at all.
Nope. No, and it's not even, I mean, even with Allen's, and he's carried that one for years, I don't think that you can even see anywhere on the pistol. And he's got a TLR-7 light and, I don't know, is that a Holosun red dot or something on it? And, I mean, it's, there's not even any markings on the firearm. He's probably put it in and out of there 10,000 times.
Right.
You know, they've got their stuff down to it. To a fine art over there, Tier 1.
Well, good. I'm glad you like it because now I can get me one since we have the same pistol.
Yeah, it was definitely a good investment.
I let him be the guinea pig on this one.
Although, I did, after I left Allen's shop today, I decided, you know, I've got this other one. I want to put it on, wear it for a couple hours, just see how it feels. And, I mean, even having that extra mag holster on there like he's got, it was still very, very comfortable.
I like that.
Even driving in the truck. And the way these are designed, I can have them send me one that I can put on the one I just threw on the floor.
Tear my shit up.
You know how I am. I'm kind of like a bull in a china shop. No, overall, man, you know, like I said, I don't have a whole lot of experience with high-end holsters, but that thing is just comfortable. And it seems to be put together extremely well.
Do you think you would rather have, what's that? What kind of clip is that called?
Those are called the Utila clips. I also have these too. I don't remember what these are called.
So that's more just of a plastic snap over your belt.
And it looks to me like he's got the ones for the 1¾-inch belt. And I have the same ones. Those are called the Easy Adjust clips. The T1C Easy Adjust.
Okay.
They've got 6 holes in the back of them, which would probably make adjusting ride height even easier.
I think for me, I would probably prefer that clip style on Allen's.
Yeah, I went with the Utila clips because I'd never had a holster with them on there. I wanted to just try it so that we could give it a full review. Basically, whatever they offered, I bought it with everything, you know, so that I could run the shit out of it and see what we thought about it in the end. So far, man, I got to give the thing a solid 9.5 out of 10. It's just super comfortable.
Good.
That wedge for appendage carry is going to be the game changer on that, so it tucks it into you.
And it does work very well. You know, I even took that magazine in that can. It holds 13. I put one of my 18 rounds in it, and I still wasn't printing, even with a decent, you know, kind of loose-fitting polo shirt on. It was still just fine. You could kind of see
it. You run the long mag or the short mag?
I run the short mag when I'm carrying usually.
Did it make a difference when you put the long mag in?
No.
I mean,
it sucked into your body so well that
half inch or something long.
Not even be that. It's not much at all.
Yeah, it's not much.
But
overall, so we're going to recommend Tier 1.
Yeah, we're definitely recommending Tier 1. I like their holsters.
You guys got anything?
Well, I was just comparing it to the stuff we've gotten from Weber Tactical, and those are pretty freaking cool. I'm liking that.
Weber makes nice stuff too.
They do. Yeah. I like that with the extra mag here.
I think there's a lot of good holster makers out there.
There are.
And I, about like you, I don't have a lot of experience with.
I don't either.
Yeah. Well, I like his Utila clips because as being a female, I don't always have a belt.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Right.
So
I've been, you know me, I wear shorts and, I mean, if it gets really cold, I'll put sweatpants on, but I wear shorts pretty much all year long. So I don't normally have a belt on. Well, I've been running one of those cummerbund type things. It's like a.
Oh, the like this belly band?
Like the back brace thing, you know?
I seen that the day you got it. That's pretty cool, though.
When I go on my walks and stuff around here, it's great.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like about it, though, is where the pistol slips in, it's just kind of an elastic holster, I guess, if that's what you want to call it.
A pocket.
It'd be nice if it actually had a holster on it.
Yeah.
If you could incorporate that into that cummerbund.
Some kind of molded pocket.
Exactly. Yeah. Then it just,
now, there is a company that makes those.
I'm sure they do.
Called Flashbang Holsters.
Yeah.
So with my wife, she carries two, you know, and I'm getting ready to order her a Canic. And I was talking to them about getting her one. Now, it's more based for women. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of goes high, rides just underneath their bra. I think they even had some clips that clipped it onto their bra. And I think they said the name.
The way he just did that, he grabbed his nipples. I'm like, they clipped to the nipples?
But that lady that I talked to there, she said that's why they actually named the company Flashbang, because they have to pull their shirt up to draw the pistol. Yeah? And it just so happened the gun that Samantha carries at this time, they didn't have a holster for. So she's getting ready to get upgraded.
So that distraction you need when you need to get your guns built in.
It's right there. Yeah. Absolutely.
Think so about that.
You're having her practice draws at home.
Multiple times. Yeah. Yeah, hours.
Do it.
Hours.
Do it slowly.
Oh, if she hears this, she's going to kill me for sure.
Sorry, Sam. All right. Good job.
Oh, it's hard not to.
So let's kind of combine these next three. Do you guys have any 2A news, anything from social media, FUD pool stuff? You got a FUD story.
I do have a FUD story, but the 2A thing with the ATF, that story that we read, that I was talking about earlier, about them doing like bulk approvals on, I think we should look into this some more and see if that was
a
legit thing or if that was just some bogus ass story.
Well, after they shut down the e-forms, they got slapped from Congress.
Yeah.
And with the budget cut, one of the clauses in the budget cut for the ATF was they could not postpone approvals or background checks.
Oh, really?
That's good.
I didn't hear that.
I'm not sure.
So were they doing it? They were doing it on purpose?
Yes.
Really?
Oh,
well, they shut down.
I can't believe that.
They shut down e-forms because budgetary considerations.
Operational issues.
But they hadn't got the budget cut yet. But they were practicing it for when the budget cut. So it's the ATF.
Yeah.
And they got slapped on the PP a little bit.
No, did you see the director and the firearms expert?
I did. Yeah. I actually shared a few videos of that.
Yeah.
Grantham had a really good video about
how he took, what, 10 Glocks apart? Yeah, he ran out of Glocks.
Yeah. He destroyed 10 slides doing it, too. He dropped them all on the concrete.
Well, they're Glocks.
They're Glocks.
I don't think he gives a shit.
No.
Jason was about ready to tell us his FUD story from the day. So
it's a short one. We were down at Full Circle today and just hanging out. And phone calls started coming in, and I mean, it got busy. It got so busy in there, we couldn't hear each other talking.
The gun show was right next door. Yeah.
And I could tell that a couple of the guys that worked down at the shop were getting pissed with this guy that they were talking to on the phone. This guy was calling down there about reloading 308 rounds. And I'm not a 308 expert. I don't know how many grains of powder will fit in that case. That's why I asked you guys earlier.
All of them.
But this old boy was talking to Alan, talking about how he likes to use 30,000 shoulder bump. 30,000s, not 3, 30.
That's a hell of a shoulder bump.
And he was cramming 44 grains of Varget into these cases. And when he would seat the bullet, he'd have to put so much pressure down on the handle that he thought it was going to break off of his press. And I'm sitting there thinking, this fucking guy is going to turn his rifle into a hand grenade right in his face. And I was talking to the guys afterwards, and, you know, we couldn't stop laughing. But Alan's like, well, that's why we sold him Varget. You know, that way he can do a compressed load and it won't blow up. But, yeah, when the guy was talking about 30,000 shoulder bump, 44 grains of powder.
Is that even possible?
I don't know. I was going to do it.
Anything's possible if you have a will.
So I have...
He's basically reforming.
I have some 308 cases at the house for Nick Kurtz. I was going to dump 44 grains of powder in it and just see how full the case was. But when that guy said that he was putting so much pressure down on his handle to seat the bullet that he thought it was going to break off the press, I lost my shit.
you can literally take, do not take this advice. This is for entertainment purposes only. Do not take my reloading advice here. But you can stuff a 308 case completely full of Varget. I mean, clear to the freaking rim.
And be safe.
And push a bullet in there.
The poor boy reloading method. Fill it out, scrape it flat, push the bullet in.
I have not blown one up yet.
But you don't know what size he's making the neck either. He might be undersizing the neck. Hell, he might be.
If he's shoulder bumping 30,000s, he doesn't know how big he's making the neck.
Right.
I mean, he's basically crushing the case at 30,000 shoulder bump. I don't even know how he could even get it to chamber after that.
I don't even know.
It'll chamber. It'll just be a little sloppy in there.
Oh, man.
Ding, 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 ding.
But it was just... Slapper. That was the best FUD story that I got today. I mean, I was there. You know, we got some other FUD questions and stuff, but That one kind of took the cake for the day today, other than the dog pissing down that guy's leg. That was pretty good. That was good. And just, you know, come to find out, after the guy got pissed and walked out, apparently he was a FUD from the group of guys he was standing there talking to. But yeah, Alan's dog pissed all down his leg, and he was not happy about it.
Dogs are usually pretty good judges.
That's what I said.
Yes, they are.
But he got mad and stormed out, and Alan's like, well, I guess we're going to get a 1-star review on this guy, even though he comes in there pretty frequently, and he's kind of a pain in the ass anyway. Yeah. Yeah, he pissed all down his leg.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Axel. Axel provides superior hearing protection for hunters and shooters. Axel offers both in-ear and over-the-ear hearing protection. Go to goaxel.com to find out more. Use PRN15 for 15% discount at checkout.
Did anybody happen to catch on the what's been going on social media the last couple of days?
No, I see it on our show notes, but I actually kind of missed that. I guess.
So if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, then I'm not going to talk about it. But there's a spat going on between Mike Lilly and Frank Galli on...
Oh, yeah, that's been going on pretty heavy.
I think I caught the beginning of it, but then I got busy and kind of lost.
It's good for entertainment value. There's no doubt about it. So
you're not going to elaborate?
No, because I don't know the full history of how they got to that point. I've seen all kinds of stuff. I mean, I got a pretty good idea, but I'm not going to try to speculate, and I don't want to create a bunch of false information. Sure. Okay. But it is, it's comical watching the exchange with Frank calling him out on all this stuff. It's good for entertainment value.
And Frank's good for that anyway.
Oh, he's definitely good for that.
Yeah.
That's really about all I got.
On social media.
Yeah.
Did you happen to catch what happened with Brandon Herrera?
I did not.
He's forcing a runoff in District 23 in Texas with Tony Gonzalez, the incumbent, Rhino.
Well, I knew he was running against him.
Yep, and they did the Super Tuesday.
Yep.
And if you got over 50%, you know, then you don't have a runoff. But he got enough to make a runoff with Tony Gonzalez. And
nice.
Now the mudslinging's coming way out from the Rhino and Democrats.
I bet it is.
And yeah, it'll be entertaining.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna have to tune into that too.
Okay, and then the next thing, State of the Union.
Oh my God. I managed
keep
to
it,
suffer
keep
through
it two A related.
I managed to suffer through 3 minutes of it before I threw up in my fucking mouth.
I did not watch it.
He's vowing to get rid of high-volume mags, AR-15s,
mm-hmm.
wants total records of all guns, and basically wiping his ass with the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to go well for
him. And then he gets what's her name, from Georgia. I can't think of it right now, but she's very Republican, very 2A, very...
The blonde.
I can't think of her name right now.
I know exactly who you're talking about. I can't
but
think of her
yeah,
name
they yet. Were talking about the killing and stuff like that, and Biden finally said, "Yeah, well, the cartels need that money for bringing the illegals across."
He slips all the time.
Yeah.
No, I didn't watch. I did not watch it because I knew it would just irritate me, and I honestly cannot listen to that man speak anymore.
Well, the Democrats were up and clapping and standing ovation for the bullshit.
Well, of course,
and, yeah.
He stacked up lies like cordwood. I can't handle when you're just blatantly lying.
And then
lying.
They were making fun of Trump with the press because he was running some funny shit at the same time.
He was. I saw that.
So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I think the what do we got? 8 months.
It's gonna get hairy.
We got Marjorie Taylor Greene. Marjorie
yeah.
Taylor Greene.
I just found her.
Keep your guns clean, is all I can tell you.
Well,
just in case.
I don't know. In my honest opinion, and this is probably gonna piss some people off, I don't think most people in the United States have the Constitution to do what some people think is gonna happen.
I don't think they do either.
I really don't.
I just hope
they're just way too compliant. Look at the COVID bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody was
But I think we learned a pretty solid lesson from that.
Oh, there's idiots. They didn't learn shit.
Yeah.
I think you pulled some people from that were on the other side from that event and maybe pulled them a little bit more towards our side on, see, we told you they were going to lie to you.
Yeah.
I think you've got more people now that say, okay, maybe I don't necessarily trust the information they're feeding me.
Oh.
I think there's a lot of people that are on that, though.
But that's what I'm saying.
That aren't falling for this
shit. Now they hear something, suspect, let me go check my sources and see if this is bullshit or not.
Yeah.
I do think some of that's happening.
I mean, I hope and pray that, you know, it doesn't result in violence, but you should prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
That's exactly right.
And then the Libertarians had a big booth set up at the gun show today.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Yeah.
Was it good or bad?
It was okay. I wasn't going to listen. Amy's laughing. Because they don't. Well, it was my interaction, but we'll leave that out.
I can only imagine.
I like what they preach, but they have no traction.
Yeah. I think they have a lot of good ideas, though. Like you said, they don't have the volume or the pull.
Yeah, but as long as we got a two-party system and...
It's going to be the same old thing.
Yeah.
Same old story.
And I don't trust the elections. I haven't trusted them in years.
I don't either.
And is the NRA going to straighten out now, or...
No.
Is it going to be...
Just because Wayne left, all of his disciples are still there. Still
they're
there.
All still there.
Yeah. And nothing's going to change there.
And the new vote for directors, you get 28 choices.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to vote for 25.
And he's
they're all, over 90% of them are standing directors now. So where's the change coming?
And he's still going to probably have so much stroke in there that...
He's still got so much influence. Yeah,
he's still going to be the driver. You know, just like the presidency we're dealing with. He's not driving.
I abandoned that group a long time ago. They'll never get me back.
No, me either.
I'm a life member.
Yeah.
Whoops.
It sucks when you're a life member and you're like, well, there ain't much I can do about that.
I done told them, that you get the phone calls. I said, don't call me. You'll never get money from me again.
Mm-hmm. There's other organizations out there that are
doing way much more for our rights.
Exactly.
I know the Missouri Firearms Coalition's been pretty busy.
Have. Yep. I'm a GOA member. You get a newsletter from them every couple of weeks, and they tell you what they're doing, and they're fighting the good fight, so I don't mind sending them $25 a year,
yeah.
You know? I have more faith in those groups, obviously, than I do the NRA.
Ava Flanell's been doing a lot of podcasts on all these different groups around the country that are mm-hmm. fighting this good fight. She's
deep into it. You know, all of that, it really starts grassroots. The rights, the politics behind it is all part of that, no doubt. But just like the discussion we had on the last podcast is the health of the shooting community, the shooting sports. It's keeping people involved, buying components, buying guns.
Yep.
You know, the more that gives you a voice right there. Now, obviously, that's not enough. And I think everybody should try to at least be, you need to do your part as an activist. Right, to support those rights. And it's not just going and buying a box of ammo and a new pistol. You need to do more, but that is one part of it.
And mass noncompliance. You're hearing that everywhere.
Mm. Yeah, look at Illinois. Yeah. Since the PICA Act started. What?
Yeah, less than one.
I think it's less than 3% total FOID holders have even registered anything. That is non-compliance right there. That is a big fuck you.
And it should be.
And for that, Illinois, keep up the good fight, everybody. You guys are doing great over there.
Did you see where the ATF went with the Supreme Court case? Going as the taxation?
Yes.
That kind of opens a door for the whole NFA, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't get too excited about NFA and ATF stuff when that news comes out because it's a lot of what you hear is a lot of clickbait. Honestly, I mean, we got all excited a few years ago when we were going to pass the Hearing Protection Act and suppressors were going to be taken off of the GCA and NFA. It didn't fucking happen. So it takes a lot for me to get excited.
Me too. I like to have that little bit of hope every now and then because the whole NFA is against the Second Amendment.
Absolutely.
No matter how you look at it.
And then you also look at, we talked about mass noncompliance. Supreme Court rules on something. If that state didn't like the ruling, they're just saying, fuck you, we're still going to do what we want anyway. It's like, why do you even have a fucking Supreme Court if nobody's going to listen to
them? We've even had a couple of those things that the Missouri, you know, Congress people have done that. They're like, fuck you, we're not following that.
Yeah.
The fuck out of here.
Yeah, Missouri's a little different story.
Yeah.
Missouri is actually a really, really good state for QA. Really good. And I hope it stays that way.
Yeah, we'll see how the lawsuit with Biden and all that comes out, too, with the 2A.
Yeah. The next 8 months are going to be really, really interesting. There's no doubt about it. Just keep your head on a swivel out there, everybody, and don't believe everything you hear. Even if it comes out of our mouths, go verify, right?
Yeah, do your due diligence. Look it up.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very, very good advice. Listener feedback over the last couple of weeks. Jeremiah Walker says, holy shit, gentlemen, great episode. I laughed, I cussed, I was talking shit, and I'm having a really good time listening. I was getting flat irate with Siri because she kept interrupting with navigation directions. Really appreciate the comment.
You can turn her off, Jeremy.
And when you end up in Nebraska, head south.
Wait a minute.
We're glad you're enjoying the show, though.
You've gone too far. John DePrimo says, awesome as usual. Doug Bowes says, great episode. Shannon Crow, which is, she's my cousin, says, this is so cool, Jason. I'm listening to it right now while I'm posting this comment. Justin Wyckoff says, best podcast out there. So, Justin, you get a special prize.
Yeah, you do.
Logan Chris Foley says, great episode. You guys are killing it. And Mark Kronk says, great podcast. Been enjoying the episodes on my work drives. We thank you all very, very much for your feedback. The one thing I would like to ask from our listeners is, so most of our podcasts to date has been going about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And right now, I don't mind recording for 2 hours. And if you guys want to listen to 2 hours, we'll keep giving you that content. But if you would like to see, get it closer down to an hour, maybe an hour and 15. If that's what our listeners want, we'll start giving that to you.
Yeah, but let us know for sure.
We have a lot of fun coming in here, getting together at the table and enjoying a cold beverage and just shooting the shit for a while. So, I mean, pretty darn easy for us to go on 3-4 hours and talk about nothing but guns and gun related stuff. So if you want less, we'll try to do that. If you want more, well, we'll give you more. If you think it's just right, well, we'll just keep it the way it is. What do you guys think?
I think it's going to be hard for us to quit bullshitting in less than 2 hours.
I mean, we've been here over 2 hours. It doesn't feel like that.
No.
You know, we're just sitting here talking.
You kind of
like
forget
you're
recording
do.
And just bullshit.
So
have you listened to the podcast yet?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's too long?
No.
Because after I get done editing,
but I'm stuck in a forklift for 8 hours, so it's easy to listen to.
Right.
It's I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm working 12, 14-hour days. I've got tons of time to listen to this. So I listen to every episode. Even though I'm on it, I still listen to it.
I don't listen to it.
It gives you something to do.
I was there.
I got the scars in the T-shirt.
Well, I do. I do all the editing, so I kind of listen to it as I'm editing, but I don't get to put it all together. And then once it actually gets published, then I'll usually listen to it just to make sure that it... And the last one was a good thing. Joel called me. Something happened, and I cut off like 5 minutes of audio. It was Alan just talking, and all of a sudden it just stopped. So good thing I still had the audio file. I went back. I fixed it. So the last podcast did end a little bit abruptly.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, so that was totally my fault. I'll make sure, hopefully, that never happens again, but... Yeah, it was kind of funny. It was a good thing that Joel called me because otherwise it would have been published that way and people would have been saying, what the fuck's wrong with my shit, man? It ain't working.
Technical error.
Match announcements. We've got the PRS Rimfire National Championship. Sponsor details. I'm not going to have time to go over all those details tonight. But if you are interested, your company is interested in sponsoring that match, you can reach out to Doug Bowes through Facebook. There's a lot of different ways you can get a hold of him. You can contact him through us if you are interested in doing that. We've got the Generation 3 three-gun match coming up in September. Big match. Three-day match, 2.5 days, I guess is what you would want to call it.
Never shot a three-gun match, but I'm going to shoot that one.
Well, if you're going to jump, you might as well jump deep.
Right, I'm going to jump in the deep end.
Deej and I are already signed up, squatted. You did get squatted, didn't you?
Yeah, I squatted before. Nope, I squatted right after you.
It's a great way to waste 1,000 rounds of ammo.
Yep.
Yes, it is. If you're quick, you can way beyond that. I said time's up. I still got ammo.
There is no time. Well, actually, there is a part time.
Yeah, so they get pissy when you just keep shooting.
You just keep shooting. That's going to be fun. Really, really looking forward to that, Amy. You really need to consider getting signed up for that. Don't worry about equipment.
We got plenty of equipment.
Yeah. And then we've actually got our first guest in three-gun match coming up next Saturday.
Next week.
16th.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it or not, but I am definitely going to try because I got the itch. All right. You guys want to start closing this out?
Sure.
You guys got anything you want to add?
You need to have that itch looked at.
What are you talking about?
You just said you had the itch for a three-gun match.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That might actually be something else. You might get it checked out.
No, I'm pretty sure I need to go shoot a match. The precision stuff has been fun, but it's nice to just go out and just blast steel as fast as you can.
I just ask everybody to give us an honest opinion. If you got something that you want us to cover, let us know. If there's a product and we can get a hold of it, we'll see if we can tear it up. That's about it. Okay. I'm really having fun with this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, more detailed feedback on what people want, what they'd like to see. Yeah, that'd be or hear, I guess. That would be awesome.
Well, YouTube might be coming.
There'll be
lots of black squares, but yeah.
we do this for the listeners. I mean, I have a great time, you guys all coming in. It's a way for us to spend time together because that is more and more difficult with our busy lives. But at the ultimate goal here is to do this for our listeners. So we do want to hear from you, and we want to give you what you want. So,
yeah, and we don't want Joel yelling at us anymore. never mind. It doesn't hurt our feelings either. So, yeah.
Send in suggestions.
All right. Be sure to check us out on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. Consider supporting the show through Patreon. Email address is precisionriflenetwork@gmail.com. Email us with your questions, inquiries, feedback, topic, or guest suggestions. Or if you would like to have your match or range mentioned, you can also contact us, and we will do that. Also, be sure to check out other announcements and conversations on our Facebook page, The Missouri Misfits. Win that war that you tell no one about, and as always, if in doubt, just hold left edge and send it. Thank you.